Like to welcome everyone out to tonight's work session and a 7 of our council meeting as well. The item for the work session tonight is wastewater treatment plant update from Forsgren and Associates. And so we're going to turn the time over to Camille first and David and give us a rundown. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Come on up. Thank you.
Right.
So let us know once you kind of go through it, then we'll open up for questions and whatever, but let you get through what you have to present to us first.
All right. We've got a slideshow. You guys should have got those copies of the slideshow in your packet if you can't see the screen very well. So this is just kind of update. I think the last time we were here was February of last year. So giving you guys an update, what's been going on. So yeah. Next slide, please. Okay. We have 548 days per contract to substantial completion as part of IRCI's contract. Substantial completion means the plant is running. We are not, we are feeding the plant with sewer from the town. But there's still a little bit of things left to do on site, but the plant is running is the biggest thing. Final completion is 578 days, so final completion means punch list is done, project is done, complete. We're done. So there's 30 days in between there, just for minor corrective items. Season one was 2024. They expended 184 calendar days last year. And to today, season two for 2025, they have expended 225 calendar days. So a little bit longer this season. They started earlier last this year, so that was the only difference. So they have spent 70% of their days up to this point, 139 days to remaining. That's to substantial completion, and that's from today. So the clock keeps going every day that they work. So that's how that works. I think if as long as they stay within their allotted days, we will not be able to charge them liquidated damages. That's what happens when you go over the days. But I think it just shows that we're almost there. 70% is a big chunk of the work. So all right, next slide. This is the financial. So financially, you can see the 67% at the bottom and then the 70% on the last slide. So that shows we've spent the same as the physical work that's been done according to the schedule. The payments that we've provided to RCI is 20 million, 20.8 million, and that's at the end of October. Doesn't include this upcoming payoff in November. Just wanted to point out that the change orders are 0.3% of the contract. So we've had minimal change orders on this project compared to one this size, maybe 2 to 5% is typical. So we've had good scope control with minimal unforeseen circumstances going on. So I think it's just showing how well we've been working and moving forward on the contract. So yeah, we're almost there. We'll probably hit that 70% with this next payout coming up in November. So that's why they're a little bit off. The 67% and the 70% of the schedule. All right, next slide. Thanks, Katie. Work done this season. Excavation and backfill. So we're pretty much brought the site back up to grade. Part last season, 2024, there was a big hole dug, a lot of fill all around the site, and now we're back up to grade. Yard piping, we have 90% of that. The remaining is just the tie-ins. So they've got a lot of the yard piping done, only about 10% left there. Concrete, a lot of concrete was done this year. We're 99% there. It was a big milestone there. We hit that this week when we got through all the concrete pours. Basically, all they have left are the aprons in front of the doors and that. So that's a big deal. There's a lot of concrete on this project. So Metal building, we're about 50%, maybe a little bit more than 50%, but that is the big hurry right now, is to try to get everything dried in so they can work through the summer for the winter. It's getting really cold. Interior equipment and piping, that number is really small just because they're focused only 10%, but the focus has been, of course, the exterior truck during the good time of the weather. And then, yeah, once they get everything heat like dried in, we'll be able to do a lot of the interior piping and mechanical portions of this project, equipment install, that sort of thing. Walkways, there's a lot of walkways in this project throughout the building, so that's at about 50%. That's how you get around inside the building, is those walkways. So, the submittals, so we've done over 200 submittals for this project. Those are all done. We have just miscellaneous things remaining. All of the equipment, piping, everything's on site from those approved submittals. So now it's just a matter of installing all of those items.
So everything from airline ship and receipt.
Yes. As of today, I didn't even have miscellaneous items to be
No,
received.
they're
So,
very detailed in their work with that.
yep. Everything's being stored in the connexes, or we have them in the covered part of the building. So, RCI is taking precautions today. Just prepare for the winter. There's 60 RFIs that have been completed. And then a big milestone that we got through was the town's now under contract for your SCADA programmer and integrator, with IMEC. That's going to give your automation and your system controls so that John doesn't have to babysit that plant. So
He's
that'll be.
still gonna.
Well, he'll want to. So he'll want to be up there.
You know, my
Hopefully.
wife's pretty much put me to be there.
So, all right. So, and the next portion is just pictures, because I think pictures are cool to show. So this was last season. We have the big hole, and then a little bit of concrete. Was all last season. And then next slide, we have a building, a lot of more concrete and finished basins and. Yeah, it looks really good. Next slide. This is just another view of that building, of the building going up. You can see it's just that north half that needs finished. So we've got the south half pretty much dried in. Generator's been set. All right, this picture, it's just showing the basins are empty on the inside, right? We don't have any equipment installed in the basin, so there's a lot of work to be done inside the basins. Next slide. This is the headworks room. Yeah, no equipment, just concrete and metal building. So, handrail. This picture is just showing the amount, massive, like a lot of handrails and walkways throughout the facility. And that's, yeah, so getting there, getting completed. And then this is the inside of the clarifier. I thought this picture is really cool. It just shows, you've got your concrete pyramids there at the bottom for your sludge. And just shows how much work they're going to do and how much work they've done to get those clarifiers how they should be. But they've done a lot of work on the piping and the equipment in the clarifiers, probably the most work there. Yeah. Okay, that's all I had. Go ahead,
Okay.
Dave.
Well, I can tell you, pretty exciting time to see all the work and the progress that RSCI has made out there. It's amazing to me sometimes when you look at these projects and you think, wow, it's just barely coming out of the ground. We've got things where, maybe we're 25%, but really, it is accurate. Just getting that hole filled in with the building and the concrete and start is really 70% of the work. And the rest of the work was going to go pretty quick. So just a list of things here. We got to get the building dried out and finished in. RSC is making a huge push to get that done as fast as possible. I think the recent snow has been a nice reminder that that's super important.
And then we're going to start a lot of the interior piping and equipment. Keep in mind that the Aeromod system is unique in that almost everything is underwater in the basements, right? That was one of the reasons that this system was so attractive to you guys, was because there's really nothing moving, but everything is in the basin, right? It's easy to retrieve. There's nothing underwater that's moving and spinning and rotating that has to be fixed. Really, everything runs off of the air from the blower system. So it's very efficient that way. But what that means is there's a lot of piping and stuff to be installed inside the basins. There's also quite a bit of instrumentation that will help with your crews for off hours and stuff like that when they're trying to operate the system remotely. We're just starting electrical installation, but there's a lot to do. They've been pulling wires all day, and there'll be a lot more of that. The SCADA integration is just now starting. You guys just got those people under contract, and they're already working. We're encouraged that through your selection process, you selected the same company to do your SCADA integration that also did the control design and the electrical design. So we're anticipating that that will create a very seamless progression through the project, so that there won't be finger pointing like the SCADA guy saying electrical did this wrong, that kind of thing. So we're encouraged by that. Once everything is up and ready to energize, we'll do a bunch of dry testing, which is basically just checking rotations and making sure everything is functioning properly. And from there, we'll add water and start with the performance testing. One thing about this treatment plant is everything gets tested before it goes online to make sure that it's functioning before we put a bunch of sewer water in there and then we have a nasty problem. And then we get to tie-ins, right? So one of the things that Camille indicated is that about 90% of the exterior site piping is done. The rest is really associated with getting the tie-ins made. The tie-ins are very critical. Unfortunately, we can't make the tie-ins until the treatment plant is ready to run. And so that's why that's the last item on the schedule of things to do. But let's talk about how we are going to get there. Okay. So, as you all know, winter is coming. The contract has a provision in the contract that allows the contractor to request a shutdown, meaning pull the crews off the job when the weather gets to the point where work on site is very inefficient. And the catalyst that triggers that in the contract is 2 feet of snow on the ground. So we are anticipating that at some point you are going to have 2 feet of snow on the ground, and we probably will get a request from the contractor to go into a winter shutdown. The way the contract works for winter shutdown really is, when you go into winter shutdown, you really shut down the job, right? And once you shut down the job, you're not really doing work on site, you're not really doing pay applications, you're not really doing a lot of that kind of thing. And then when the snow lets up and you can come back, then you come back to work. And so I just have a couple of just informational dates. These are not real dates, these are just examples, right? So right now, substantial completion is May 4th. Like if we just had no winter at all and we just had a really great fall for construction, not so good for business in town, but for construction, we would be done on the 4th of May with substantial completion to be up and running. However, if let's say by the 1st of January, there's a couple feet of snow on the ground and they can't really get out there to work, and by April that was all gone, that would move our substantial completion date to the first part of August. That would mean we'd be up and running in August, right? So a winter shutdown like that would impact the treatment plant operations from the first part of May to the first part of August. In talking with RSCI, we've kind of come up with a solution to try to shorten that impact quite a bit. And what we're anticipating is when they do ask for a winter shutdown, they're going to ask us to allow them to do an abbreviated crew on site inside the building where they can provide their own heat and that kind of stuff so that they can get caught up on some of that internal piping, instrumentation, electrical, and those kinds of things during the winter shutdown. Now, typically, we would not encourage you to do that. And the reason for that is it's very important for you to have inspection and eyes on it for a couple of reasons. First off, we believe that at the end of the project, you'll have a better product if you have somebody whose focus is just making sure that there's contract compliance. That's not to say that Trent and his crew are trying to cut corners. It's just having somebody that's their focus really does help the project. The other reason it's important is because they're going to want to get paid for the work that they do. And the on-site person also is the person that is the front line for observing the work that is done, verifying it's in compliance with the contract, and then making a recommendation on the amount of work that should be paid for during that work period. So that kind of gets us to a difficult situation because the construction administration contract, which is a contract with Forsgren, is a time and material contract. Like, so when we have inspectors on site, we charge for that day. When we don't charge for the day. And so normally during winter shutdown, we would have no charges for that. However, talking with RSCI and trying to figure out how can we accelerate the startup date, what we came up with is if we were to allow them to do abbreviated crews for specific work, piping, HVAC, electrical. I believe those are the specific items we're talking about. We could still come in 1 or 2 days a week, depending on the work that is done, and do periodic on-site observation. The reason that that might work is there's nothing buried in those basins, right? Now, you wouldn't want to have observations so far apart that, you're missing stuff, which is why you wouldn't want to let them work all winter and then not have anybody look at it until summer. But 1 or 2 days a week is probably adequate. And so the way that that would work is they would probably request a winter shutdown. They would request this waiver for allowing abbreviated crew. But for each day that there was on-site observation, that would count against the days that are left in the contract. And if we were to do it that way, we're anticipating that instead of being done the first week of May, we might be done maybe the last week of May or the first week of June, right? So it's a substantial increase. Now, we still have to wait for the snow to break because we can't make that last 10% of the piping, the tie-ins, until everything is done and until there's not enough or not 2 feet of snow on the ground. And so that's really what would be happening. And so we're not at a point where we're recommending this yet. We're just saying these are the things that are coming as we move forward to this project. We're anticipating that there will come time when there's enough snow that winter shutdown is warranted. And we believe that this is a way that we can accelerate when the treatment plant is up and out of operation. It still doesn't make any difference in terms of your guys's lifting of the moratorium and the construction. No impact on that at all, right? This is just simply how fast can we get this thing up and running to alleviate the loading of the lagoons, right? So when that does come, we'll come before you with that that request and present it. That, but that's probably what we're going to present to you. So.
Dave, I have a Matthews question.
yes.
So, would RSCI be paying the difference for to like to heat the building, or would town be absorbing that cost?
So during the, they're going to probably use like propane heaters and stuff like that. And that's on them. Like that's their
That's
thing.
part of their bid to you.
Well, that would be part of their proposal to, during the winter, have some work, right? I mean, if they're gonna ask us to waive some of the restrictions of the contract to give them more work time frame, then the cost associated with doing that is that's part of their thing, right? So we haven't had any discussions about the city footing bills for heat or anything like that. They're just trying to come up with a way, and I do think that this, this arrangement that they have, talked to us about, that we've kind of been talking through, I think it really shows a lot of the partnership that's going on between the town staff, your construction observation group, and your construction group. Like, we're really trying to figure out how to get it to you as fast as we can with the best process that we can get it. And I think, Camille was talking about where we are. I mean, we're probably one-tenth of the typical number of change orders. I mean, I stood right here and told you one time that change orders usually are between 2 and 5%, and I said we just use 3 as a middle number, and we're a tenth of that. And it doesn't mean there won't ever be any more change orders, but I can tell you that we work as a partnership with RSCIA every day, figuring out how we can stay in budget, stay on schedule, and keep things moving. Any other questions? Any questions?
Brian, no, for you. Brock?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. I had a question. It's been a few months since we've talked, but there was talk about not doing a winter shutdown, I believe, because you'd be able to be driving and work inside. Is that still on the table? The things that
So
those guys are in there, what would prohibit other stuff happening, like air mod getting put in?
those are the things that they would be doing during the winter shutdown, right? So the thing that is unable to happen during the winter shutdown really is the tie-ins, right? I mean, that's the key, is we have to get everything in the building up and running and ready to go before you can make those tie-ins. And those tie-ins are just not possible when there's 2 feet of snow on the ground, just because of the freezing conditions and the quality of the work that would result from trying to make those wet tie-ins in the middle of the winter. So there is probably going to have to be some sort of a winter shutdown for some period. But, let's say, for example, we don't get 2 feet of snow until February, right? Then the contract doesn't allow for a winter shutdown, and we just keep moving, right? But at some point, there's going to be more snow on the ground than they can do the exterior work, and that's really the hang up, is trying to do that exterior work. Once the process is in and the tie-ins are made and the treatment plant is up in operation, we have 30 days in the contract to get to final completion, but that really doesn't really have to happen that fast, right? I mean, it's the cleaning up the site is just finishing up the job and getting out. There's not a regulatory requirement. There's not really a capacity requirement. It's just clean up and get done so it doesn't drag on forever. But I do think that we will have to have some kind of winter shutdown in order to do the exterior work that has to happen after the interior work is done.
So you say winter shutdown, it sounds like you're closing out, but really it's moving forward, but only those aspects that are
Only the aspects that are
available inside.
inside and available, right?
Okay.
And I think that in order to stretch out the inspection budget and the construction administration budget, I think it's very, very feasible to not have a person standing there all day long, every single day. Because the work that they're going to be doing down there, like, for example, if you have a guy here on, Monday and Thursday, you'll be able to see everything that happened Friday and Tuesday and Wednesday, right? Like, it's all going to be exposed. And so seems like a more efficient use of the town's budget to allow for work to occur during the winter shutdown.
Anyone in the room or online? Well, actually, go to Lisa. Sorry, Lisa's online there. Lisa's from the council. Do you have some questions for Dave or Camille?
Oh, thank you. I don't have any questions. Thanks for the good explanation.
Anyone in the room or online?
I have a couple of questions, Travis. I
Yes,
think
please
come forward.
talk loud. We got to be able to hear it for the
I couldn't hear any of
online.
the meetings, but sorry, no, that's fine. Hey, David, you're talking about 30 days for testing once you're trying to get it into operation. Is that what you're saying?
No, the 30 days I was talking about is after it's up and running. We have 30 days to just clean up the site and get off.
The testing all happens, the dry testing and the wet testing happens before substantial completion. So we test all the equipment for function before we actually introduce the water. There's a couple of different tests, the 7-day test for just hydraulic testing. But then once you introduce sewer, then it usually takes several weeks before the sewer actually concentrates enough that you're actually getting full treatment.
So what are you talking about? A date on that with completion, maybe September 1st. Then is the testing come in after that? So we got 4 weeks of testing.
So you will have performance testing that follows the substantial completion in terms of just more data coming in. But what happens after the substantial completion during performance testing really is when, let's say that you're having a problem with a blower, right? It's not putting it on there, right? So that's the warranty period that comes into effect. The warranty is for an entire year. So if you have issues with specific pieces of equipment that are, not functioning like they should, that we couldn't identify during the dry and the wet testing, then the manufacturer and the contractor, they have to come back and fix those things. So there's an entire year where John may have a callback or something like that, but that doesn't generally impact the function of the facility. You still run it as if it was working perfect. You still run. So substantial completion is the time frame when you switch the flow from the aerated lagoons to the treatment plant. And that's where it goes, right? And then after that, it's just fine-tuning it, tweaking it, getting it very optimized.
This may be a question for John and you together. The pump station. Okay, what's its capacity?
The Iris.
So the Iris pump station right now is under engineering review by our other town engineering services, and we've been doing a study on that, looking at that. That'll be talked about tonight. But yes, the capacity of that when we do the 8 acres, they're going to have to upgrade that to the pump station.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess that asks another question. The line that runs out to the lagoons right now, with going up with more capacity in that, is that line big enough or will it someday be?
So that's a question I've been asking TD&H, the engineers, as well, and they're doing a hydraulic study of that as well
Okay.
to make sure that line works for the increase of flow. I believe Forsgren did a little bit of that study. Dave, you can probably expound on that a little bit.
So when we did the facility planning study on your system, we determined that so the treatment plant is designed for 1.5 million gallons a day, right? It's really 1.58, but that other 0.08 is for settage and that kind of stuff. So it doesn't have anything to do with hydraulics. But we identified that the 12-inch force fan that goes from Iris out there is adequate for that 1.58 build outflow condition. We also identified, however, that the pumps themselves in the ISO station are inadequate. So there is a period of time, I can't remember the specific number, but this is in the study where we said at this point, when your flows get to here, you're going to have to either upgrade those pumps or you could build an additional pump station for the 80 acres and supplement that, right? So we have both of those options in the facility funding study.
So when you talked about 1 to 2 days of supervision, I'm going to take it, and maybe this gentleman can answer it right here with RSCI. Is the supervision from RSCI, or is that from you guys?
So that's an excellent question. RSCI is responsible for all of their quality control and quality assurance. They are running the job. What the inspector or observation is doing from Forsgren is we are confirming that everything they're doing is complying with the contract documents, right? So we are a second set of eyes. However, the Forsgren team doesn't have any authority to direct any of the contractors' employees at all. Now, it doesn't mean that if we see something, nothing happens. If we see something, we identify there's something that is not in compliance with the contract documents for whatever reason, then what we do is we go directly to the superintendent
or the superintendent's assistant on site, and we work through those items. We also have a meeting every single week that allows us an opportunity with the management from RCI to go through and say, here are our items of concern, here are things that seem to be that they're getting off track, and that kind of thing. The other thing it allows us to do is it gives us the opportunity to help interpret what the intent of the drawings are. You know, where these engineers would put these drawings together, thinking that everybody in the world thinks just like we do, and it turns out they don't, right? Yeah. And so sometimes, sometimes we have to say, well, this is what that is trying to say. This is what we're trying to build, right? And without that, a lot of times projects can end up with something that we didn't intend for it to be.
So when you said 1 to 2 times a week, whose supervision is that?
So 1 to 2 times a week is really the observation group, the foresman going out there and just confirming that everything they did since the last time we were here is complying with the contract. RSCI will have to have the superintendents on site anytime there's work happening. Not like one day a week or an hour of a day that we're in. Whenever the contract is performing work, there has to be a person who is responsible for overseeing that, whether from RSCI.
And then I'm overseeing that as well.
Yeah, general chairs everybody.
I'm eyes on every aspect of this project from the first shovel of sand where we are today.
Sure.
And I would guess from RSCI, it's also contractor duties and mostly.
I'm really steel and HVAC. We do our own process piping, do our own mechanicals, do our own plumbing, do our own dirt work, our own electrical.
All right.
So mostly I have control. Yeah. So we have a lot of control with our in-house resources.
All right. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Why I'm here. As the town looking in, I got to say, it's a very fine oil machine. You know, I've watched this project, and anytime we have issues, Nick, the inspector, enforcement, myself, bring it to Trent and Brian and Jonas at RCI, and we work through these issues and come in. And it's been a very well-oiled process.
Great.
Yeah. Anyone else?
So, I don't know if you want me to go now, but I was going to take a few minutes.
Please, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even go for my minute.
I don't have slides, but really my intention was to come because you probably haven't seen me face-to-face. So Trent Dykstra, house project manager for RSCI. So yes, we're Boise-based, but I guess Montana was home for me. I grew up in the Manhattan area, so like neighborly-wise, like this is of interest to me, right?
I wouldn't guess with your last name.
Yeah, the Dykes gives it away, right? But I think I just wanted to be here to basically affirm what Dave was saying. So I think like, the advantage when this gets put forth to you all formally is we're not asking for more time or money. I'm not saying I want a 60-day contract extension. And with that, my daily field office overhead rate of whatever it is, $1,000, right? It's he's using the TM that he has to be there 2 days a week, roughly, for supervision, right? We're installing work. So my budgets are running on my dime. I'm not asking for heat. I'm not asking for any of that, right? But you guys are getting your plant earlier because I'm working through the building interior, right? And so he's not theoretically charging you more because he's not burning all of his time. And I'm not coming to you asking for more time and money, right? So I think it's really when you guys get your plant online for really no additional cost before your peak tourist season, right? And honestly, you know, we don't want to be here longer than you want us here, right? We want to get your plant and go to the next project. That's how we run business successfully, right? So I think, you know, I'll be here to back him what he's saying, right? The contractor's on board. We're not coming for you for more money, right? If instead it was a hard line in the sand of like, nope, we're going to count every day against you. And if you don't make May 4th, well, then obviously it's very difficult to complete all that in the winter. So then we would just say, well, we're going to pull out of town until weather gets better, right? But then the plant wouldn't come online. So I really think that's the win-win. And then the other thing that I wanted to address was just more on like the professional conduct side. So I know there's been some run-ins recently with our steel subcontractor around town. I don't want to get into specifics, but we own that. They're our subcontractor. I'm not trying to shed blame. They're not my guys, but like that's one of our company core values is community and people, and we haven't upheld that. So the owner of their company is on site all this week. He'll be on site all next week. They now have between 14 and 17 guys to get that building done. And all the bad apples are out of town. They're not welcome back. And I've told him, I have another steel subcontractor that I've already made contact with that can come in. So if this continues and my hand gets forced, like plan B is there. And he knows that. So that's more of kind of an apology and acknowledgement that like that's not the tone that we want to set. And you know, that's not the part we want to be. So
appreciate it.
Not acceptable. We don't have to get into the specifics of it, but there's a plan B if they can't uphold their end of the deal. So, and then I guess to kind of address on your supervision thing, the reason that I think that that'll be successful, right, is because of the work that you're installing, whereas concrete, you know, that day you're taking air and slump and temperature tests, whereas piping, it's 22 feet in the air in those tanks. It's going to take them some time to install pipe from that corner to that corner. And then Nick can come out 2 days a week. Okay, we're going to test that section of pipe. So him being there every day isn't necessary to watch the pipe get installed 20 feet at a time down the wall, where he can come and we're going to test that 100-foot run, boom, right? And so then you're having that accountability and that verification, right? We're not testing it going, yeah, we tested it, trust us, it's good. He's there, he's witnessing it. So I feel like that's where it's really advantageous. And electrical as well, everything's exposed. And that's one of the risks that we're willing to take if there's not 100% forging supervision, is I work and I put 100 feet of pipe in, and Nick comes on day three and goes, that 100 feet is wrong. I gotta fix it. Like that's my, I'm taking that risk to operate through the winter. And if we screw it up, we gotta redo it. And that's not anybody's fault but our own. So same for electrical. So I think that's why I feel comfortable with it. And you know, John will be around that electrically, if they come out and find something and IMIG says that's wired wrong or that's the wrong cable, it's on me. So the risk I'm taking, but just wanted to share those couple of thoughts and kind of backdate what he was saying. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning. Anyone else have any last minute thoughts or questions? Great. Thank you for coming and updating us and keeping us informed. We're looking forward to next summer. And not that we don't want to see you go, but we actually look forward to seeing you go. But you're always welcome back after the project.
You can wish us well, goodbye.
It'll be a friendly good
sure. All right.
Well, with that, we'll go ahead and end the work session for tonight, and we'll be back at 7 o'clock for our town council meeting. Thank you.
All right.
All right. We'd like to welcome you to tonight's town council meeting. We had a work session at 6 o'clock on the wastewater treatment plant, and move into tonight's meeting, December 2nd. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I would like to introduce to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome you here. We've got more online than in the house tonight, looks like. Appreciate you coming out. Well, the first item is public comment, so there's an opportunity for anyone to share any thoughts that they have, anything that's not later on the agenda. Do we have any public comments? Oh, if you're online, please just use the raise your hand feature. We'll let you in at the appropriate time. Any public comments? Give a chance to think about it. All right, hopefully we'll have some later in discussion. And next is council comments. We'll go around the table. Lisa, we'll start with you. Lisa's online with us tonight.
Thank you. I don't have any comments, except I'm sure you will probably mention Travis about Jeff Matthews, just thinking about him and his family. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Brock?
No, thank you.
No. So I've got one as an update. I talked to Jeff Matthews Jr. Today. And so Jeff Matthews Sr., if you don't know, had a stroke last week down at Ermac. He's doing as well as can be expected. He's in ICU. Hopefully next day or two he'll get out. Wait for some brain swelling to be reduced. And every day he's showing little positive signs, which is always a good thing. But it's always a long road and a lot of uncertainty with that. But the family seems to be doing well at the moment. Ask Jeff if there's any needs, and they seem to have some that the community came together for already, you know, just privately. And he says, you know, this is when you really appreciate a small town. When things like this happen, and you realize that. So it was kind of a fun conversation with him. But the family's doing well at the moment. Ask to keep me in prayers, and I'll try to keep everyone updated. It's hard. I was glad he took my call because, you know, sometimes you get overwhelmed on phone calls. So think of that, you know, personally, or things that you could do for you to reach out. The other one is just a thought. I, you know, with the cancellation of the ski race, you know, it's a pretty quiet time in town, but there are some businesses that it's very important to. And I was thinking of some of them that kind of, it's a perfect time. I saw the baskets around town with the shop local, and with Christmas coming up, I urge everyone to, you know, before you buy something somewhere else, shop wherever you want. I'm not going to tell you where, but think of, you know, there might be some places in town that you can find some stuff. And I found in the past, I could find some pretty good stuff and never have to drive to, let's say, Bozeman or Random Falls. And anytime I can save a trip, it can happen. So encourage you to get around town and shop as appropriate, and encourage others to do the same. So I think it's a great thing for our community. That's all I have. So next item is our treasurer's and securities reports.
It's posted in the finance department.
Well, thank you, Katie. We have two purchase orders tonight. No surprise, I'm from Public Works. Just kidding. The first one is 7018. This is to Broadwater. Okay. Equipment services in the amount of $14,415.49. This is for repairing some heavy equipment. What is the pleasure of council?
I made a motion to approve purchase order 7018 for Broadwater Equipment Services in the amount of $14,415.49.
Right.
I'll second.
Thanks, bro. All right, been moved and seconded. Anyone in the council have any questions or comments?
No.
Lisa?
None for me, thanks.
I don't either. Anyone in the community online or in the room have any comments or questions on this first order? I thank the table.
I'm like,
you have a comment or question?
Yes, sir.
All right, please. All right, hold your comment.
I'm
Thanks, Joe.
Just really quick, I just like to always like to explain myself when we spend money, because I think that's important. Of course, always we have to fix and work on our heavy equipment. Ben from Broadwater used to be a cat mechanic, and he's come over in his own business, and he's really a good mechanic. He works really hard on our stuff, and obviously none of this stuff is cheap. But if you notice in your packet, we have a breakdown of each piece of equipment that we do, and I make him do a detailed list of the stuff that we're doing and a breakdown of everything that we're doing. On top of that, we're doing oil sampling on all of our heavy equipment now to keep a oil sample tally and watch our oil sampling, like in our grader, our big blower, our 624, our 831G. So if we have a rear end or a motor failure, something started to show its ugly head, the oil sampling, just like a blood sample, will show that. And it's a great way to protect yourself, and so you don't have a catastrophic failure. You can address that before these things happen. So I just want to kind of go over those things and let you guys know that I'm watching this stuff very closely. Last year we spent $33,000 or $32,540.90 with him, and we're able to cut that in half so far this year. Talk about
Thank you. And if you all break it down, babies will. Thank you, John. Back to the table. Call the question. Thanks, Brian. All those in favor of purchase order 7018 Broadwater Equipment Services, $14,415.49. Please say aye.
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 It's aye. Thank you. The second purchase order is 7019, the Midwest Welding and Machine. This is for two Western 8-foot Pro plows. I'm assuming that you on the new trucks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that'll be awesome and timely. What is the full? This is for the amount of $15,406.58. What is the pleasure of council?
I make a motion to approve purchase order 7019 and Midwest Welding for two Western plows in the amount of $15,406.58.
I'll second.
Well, it's been moved and seconded. Anyone have any questions, comments?
Think it'll be good to have those on the new trucks.
Yeah, I can make a real quick comment on this. So really quick, I'd like to make we had $100,000 budgeted for these two trucks and two plows. I was able to bring this in at 96,541. It's a record budget on this project. We looked at lots of different plows, Myers, Western, even looked back at Boss V plows and so forth. I picked the straight blade plows because we have a V plow. I thought the straight blade plows were in our ballpark, and it'll work out fine for what we're looking for. And our closest bid was a Myers for $19,610. So I was out shopping on these. And that also is through Midwestern Machine, which does all of our plow work out of Bozeman. They do manufacturing work, any kind of plow work they needs done. They carry all the parts and pieces for them. And I think that was just a great move.
Thank you. Lisa, I'm not sure. Gotcha. Do you have any questions or comments?
I don't, but thanks, John, for all your homework and hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone in the audience or online have any comments or questions on this purchase order? Back to the table.
Call question.
Yes, they've been called for. All those in favor of approving purchase order 7019, the Midwest Welding and Machine, the amount of $15,406.58. Please say aye.
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 It's aye. Thanks, John. Let us know.
It's coming.
It
It's
is.
coming down. We need it.
All right. Next item tonight, no adjustments to the claims. Is that correct, Katie?
Correct.
We have claims tonight, the amount of $382,094.92. What is the pleasure of the council?
I guess I'll make a motion to approve the claims in the amount of $382,094.92.
I'll second.
Claims are moved and seconded. Anyone have any comments or questions on the claims for Katie tonight? Brian?
Nope.
Rob?
No.
Lisa?
I just have a couple questions, Katie. Number 53025, unused grant money of $2,000 for the West Yellowstone Foundation. Could you just explain that transaction, please?
Yes. So Social Services received $2,000 from the West Yellowstone Foundation back in 2023. And they were to use that for like a mental health counselor type situation. There was like an outline where it talked about mental health. That did not actually happen. And so the foundation is going through and reconciling out some of their grants and requested that money back. We are still able to apply for future projects, but that did not work out for that department, so we needed to return that money.
Okay. Thank you. And item 53051, it says it's over budget with an asterisk. I don't know if you have any information you want to share on that or not.
Yeah. So we are doing, we had a couple vests that I didn't know were going to be expired for our police officers. And so obviously it's important for them to have the proper equipment. And so I told them to go ahead with this purchase just because it's very important and vital. And so they are still like within their overall budget currently under. So it's just one line item that's over budget.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. I got one for you, Katie. I noticed 53029 finance actually spent money on something. It looks like a small item of equipment. You never spend money on anything. I was kind of shocked and encouraged.
Yeah, we actually got a new cabinet seating computer. When that surge happened back in like September, I came in on Monday. Peggy was on vacation for 2 weeks, and I had to work my way through cash receiving the computer and brought it back to life. But it was from like 2017, I think, that computer. So it was time to update. So we did get a new computer for that little area.
All right. Anyone in the audience or online have any comments or questions for Katie? All right, back to the table.
Question.
Questions been called for. All those in favor of approving the claims in the amount of $382,094.92, please say aye.
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 Your votes are aye. Thank you. The next item, we have a business license application. So this is a transfer of ownership and new name. So it's before us. This is Two Bears Den LLC at 235 Gibbon Avenue, number 15.
It is actually not a transfer of ownership, it's a new license. He marked that, but
Oh.
this location has not been licensed in the past.
Aha, okay. And this is at the condominiums there, the townhouse. One's on that corner. Okay. All right. Get everyone there. All right. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'd make a motion to approve the business license application for Two Bears Den LLC, the rental at 235 Gibbon, number 15.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Anyone have any comments or questions? Lisa, we'll start with you. Go backwards on the table.
Well, so again, it doesn't comply with our ordinances, this application for the town council to approve because we don't see a parking plan. And I'm curious as to what the parking plan is for this condo unit.
They have a designated parking space in front of the property. Oh, yeah, we do have a.
So is that on the street or on the private property that the condo building is on?
Private property. It's one of the tall ones off of the larger street.
Yeah, and I still don't understand why the council's not seeing the parking plans with the business license applications as per our ordinance, what it requires. So, but thank you for that information. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Brock?
No.
Brad?
No.
Right. I don't have any others. Thanks for clearing that up, Liz. Anyone in the audience have any comments or questions on this business license application? Seeing hands. Back to the table.
Call for question.
Questions been called for. All those in favor of approving the business license application for Two Bears Den and the rental 235 Gibbon Avenue, number 15, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. Any opposed? Thank
Nay.
you very much. All right. Next item. Let's see. Got it off here. Oh, the minutes from our November 18th town council meeting and work session. What is the pleasure of the council?
I make a motion to approve the minutes from the November 18th, 2025 town council meeting.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Anyone have any questions or corrections?
No.
Lisa?
No comments, thanks.
Anyone in the community have any comments or questions or corrections to me on our town council meeting minutes from November 18th? Back to the table.
Call for question.
Question and call for all those in favor of approving our town council meeting minutes for November 18th, 2025. Please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Thank you very much. All right, we will now turn time over to Dan Walker, our town manager, for his and other staff report.
thank you, Mr. Mayor, and the council members. Again, just thinking of Jeff and his family and hoping for a quick and full recovery for him. I really miss watching him going to Katie's office and then, you know, having to chill her out. So it's always good, but we do miss him, and I really hope he heals well. So first I want to introduce, we promoted Corey White to interim police chief. So Corey's been, so Corey and I have been meeting over the last couple weeks, month or so, just kind of outlining some expectations, and he's put together a really nice work plan for the 6 month period. What our policy allows us to appoint somebody into a position, and then we want to offer that as a full position. We have to do a recruitment process. So we're hopeful that Corey is successful. I know he's going to be. I've really been appreciative that his communication and his attention to issues has been really great. So I really appreciate the work he's done so far. So thank you. Looking forward to having him on here long term. The second is we made an offer to Rachel Spence to be our next rec coordinator. So I think she indicated that she'll be starting after the first of the year. You might start seeing some posts and things. She's really excited to get going. So I know she's already been posting on Facebook some of the events and things going on in town. So we'll be excited to have her on as our rec coordinator. I attended a webinar last week regarding future upgrades to the TV Creek culverts near mile marker 11 on Highway 191. Probably something that people drive over all the time and never even notice those culverts exist. MDT is programming the project for 2028. In the meeting, I just expressed some concerns about public safety access and emergencies, specifically for wildfire, and just making sure that our public services are able to get between here and Bozeman efficiently. They're planning on hosting an open house in West Yellowstone in the spring. And then they do have a website for the project. It's mdt.mt.gov/PUBINVOLVE, pub involve, /DP Creek, DEPECREEK. So if you want to go and check out that project, you can go to that website. They're going to be doing the open house in the spring. It's not programmed until 2028. We have three submissions for the Parks and Trails Master Plan. So there'll be a few members of the Park Board that will be meeting on Thursday to review those submissions to make a recommendation. We have two dispatch interviews and one patrol officer interview scheduled for this Friday. We also got two other patrol applications this week, so we'll be setting up interviews soon. Hopefully we've got some good candidates. One of the things I want just to remind the council, especially the new council members, we'll be looking at setting our council goals for 2026. So just giving you a little bit of lead time to start thinking about some of the things that are important to the council members for the next year. So we'll probably bring those up at the second meeting in January or the first meeting in February, kind of depending on what our workload looks like going into the new year. Also, be mindful of some board assignments. I know that we'll have to talk about some board assignments. You look like you're leaning in.
No, just
she's getting excited.
I love board assignments.
Okay, so I know that just as members of the community, I know that Greg is on committees and Brock on board. So just to be thoughtful if you want to stay on those or if you want to talk with the other counselors to maybe mix some of those up. So just so that you guys are thinking about all of that. We're planning on having our department head presentations for the council at the second meeting in January to talk about this year and upcoming projects. And then the last thing is Kyle will be here at the next meeting on the 16th to give an 80 acres update. So just want to let the members of the public know. I know that we had kind of light attendance, I think, tonight for the wastewater plant updates. And I know that it's really big conversation with the community. So I think it's important that people come either online or in person to see what's going on with the 80 acres. So that's all I've got.
All right. Thank you. I didn't council have any questions, comments for Dan, Jeff?
No.
Lisa?
Sorry, no, I don't. Thank you.
Me neither. Thank you. Well, we'll do advisory board report. So Dan already did it. Go ahead. So, oh. Sorry, Jan. I can't. Yeah.
Okay.
Where is she?
Second one down.
I'm here.
Can go ahead, Jan. You speak up. Oh, you could. We can barely hear you.
Oh. On the on the Parks and Trail Master Plan. Is that the actual plan, or is that someone to make the plan?
So we are going to be reviewing firms that are going to be working on the plan with the Park Board.
I'm sorry. Would you repeat that?
So we've got three applications for firms that have proposed to do the planning. And so they're going to be reviewing those firms and then making a recommendation.
Thanks. That's what I was thinking, but I wanted to be sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. All right. Advisory board report. Brian, anything else to add?
No.
Brock.
Yes. Park and Rec met on November 19th. It was a pretty quick meeting. We just kind of went over a few things. Looking at forming a committee for the master plan, which Dan kind of already hit on. Planning on sending out a survey at the beginning of the year, just trying to get some public feedback. We're still kind of coming up with questions on that. And then, as Dan already kind of hit on, we are recruiting new members. So if anybody is looking to be on Park and Rec Board, we'd appreciate you to put in an application.
Go see Liz.
Yep, let's go see Liz. That's all I got.
All right, thank you. Lisa?
No healthcare services advisory board meetings since last meeting, so no report.
Okay. I didn't have any. Are there any other meetings we're at in the last couple of weeks that we didn't touch on? Okay, that was easy. All right, the next item tonight is we have a public hearing. This is, I'll go ahead and read this. The town council of the town of West Yale will hold a formal amended budget hearing for the fiscal year 2024-25. Said hearing will be held at a regular town council meeting Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025, which begins at 7 o'clock. The hearing will be held in the town hall council chambers located at 440 Yellowstone Avenue. The public hearing will review the expenditure of the marketing and promotions MAP fund, public works equipment replacement fund, and the TBID agency fund. The public is invited to attend, and any taxpayer or resident may be heard for or against the proposed budget. It's also available for your review, town offices. And on the back of this, we have the resolution regarding that. And we'll go ahead and read that. New business. We now are opening up to a public hearing for a budget amendment for those three items. Anyone in the public have any comments they'd like to share or ask? You're usually pretty gripping, Katie. Any public comment? Get three chances until our next agenda item. Anyone have any public comment or questions for our public hearing today? We will now close the public hearing and we will move on to new business. The next item is on the back sheet, depending on how you printed this off or pull up the next item. This is resolution number 827. This is the financial year 2025 budget amendment. You'll forgive me, I will read through this. So pay attention, Brian.
Okay.
All right, a resolution of the town council, the town of West Yellowstone, the county of Gallatin and state of Montana to amend the town's budget for fiscal year 2024-25. Whereas the town is required to reflect changes to the budget by resolution. And whereas the marketing and promotions fund, public works equipment replacement fund, and the T-bid agency fund have expended more than anticipated. And whereas the total authorization of expenditure for the marketing and promotions fund has been exceeded by $57,710.12. And whereas the town has cash available to cover the exceeded expenditure. And whereas the total authorization of expenditure for the public works equipment replacement fund has been exceeded by $1,568.84. And whereas the town has cash available to cover this exceeded expenditure. And whereas the town authorization of expenditure for the TBID agency fund has been exceeded by $41,209.78. And whereas the town has cash available to cover this exceeded expenditure, be hereby resolved by the town council of the town of West Yellowstone, Montana. So we have three different ones. MAP fund for $57,710.12. Public Works Equipment Replacement Fund is the amount of $1,568.84, and the TBID Agency Fund, the amount of $41,209.78. Before I turn to Council, AP, is there anything you'd like to add or clarify on this before we take it to the Council?
Yeah, I can for just a second. So, just to explain why we went over budget, and then I'm happy to answer any further questions. But on your MAP fund or your marketing promotions fund, they had some from the previous year. And remember, this is last fiscal year's budget. This is not this year's budget, just to be very clear. This is last year's budget. So the year before, they had some outstanding payments that they were to give some of their events. And they went ahead and allocated their $250,000 that they had budgeted for that year. And so we had that carryover from what we owed for the last year. And we were very tidy and on it this year, at the end of this fiscal year, that they had made sure everybody had put in their form. So we'll be clean moving forward and just watching that, of the timeline of that. That's why that one went over budget. They have cash in their fund to cover that. And it was planned for the year before. And then on your public works equipment replacement fund, that one went over about $1,500 because we had our second year of our lease payments for our grader and loader, and it was a full year, and I did not calculate the interest quite right. So we had that fixed for this year moving forward. And then on the TBIB agency fund, if you'll remember recently, they went from $1 a bed to $2. And with that change, that happened at the middle of our fiscal year, and they didn't quite plan on that because of how the vote happened. They didn't know if they would get it done or not, and so I didn't budget accordingly. But all of what happened is basically money came in. We take our very small admin fee to handle that collection for them, and we give them their money right back. And so that's why there's cash there. We don't usually hold cash in that fund, but since money already came in, we have to give them back to them. So that's your three explanations on these three different funds. And I would appreciate approval of this so I can turn in our annual financial report and be compliant with our audit as well. So this is really just a big formality as well.
Thank you. What is the pleasure of the council?
I make a motion to approve resolution number 827, fiscal year 2025 budget amendment.
I'll second. It's been moved and seconded. Anyone have any comments or questions, Brian?
Yeah, just to clarify, Katie, like this, I mean, TBID and MAP, it's not like town is giving them money. This is coming out of their coffers.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically, so MAP, you know, obviously comes off that 2.5% that there was that 5% admin fee businesses voted to give 2.5 for this fund. And so as soon as that money comes in, like yesterday, I clicked in November and I moved that cash right over to their fund so they have it available to them. And so, yes, it is totally different than just our normal general fund or anything else that we do for the time.
Thanks, Brock. No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right, Lisa?
No questions. Thank you.
I don't have any questions. Thank you for the explanation. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions on our resolution for budget amendment? Back to the table.
Call for question.
Question's been called for. All those in favor of approving resolution number 827 for a budget amendment for fiscal year 2024-25, please say aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Thank you, Katie. We'll just get it turned in. All right. The next two items we have here, they're separate but somewhat related. We do these separately. Dan, do you want to give an introduction real quick to these, and then we'll come back to the table and take these one at a time?
Kyle is actually online, so we'll let Kyle maybe walk through.
Okay. Hello, Kyle.
Hello. Can you all hear me tonight?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you might give us a quick rundown of what we have in front of us, and then we'll take it to council for a vote.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and it was even kind of hinted on earlier in the night when we were talking about the treatment plant and how close we are getting to having that extra capacity there. These two proposals are the first steps to, I guess, the kind of the remaining two items kind of associated with that project, but different. And that's being able to get the quantity of wastewater that the town is anticipating on getting in the future to the treatment plant. So that's the Iris lift station. And that's something that we were looking at in conjunction with some of the preliminary stuff we were doing with the 80 acres. And with the 80 acres, the main thought we had there is, hey, is it possible that we could use this lift station with the first phase of the project? And through our analysis and close work with John, the recommendation is that needs to have additional capacity before the 80 acres could hook up onto it. So we've had already some preliminary discussions with John about kind of the best way to do that. I know there was some discussion about potentially doing a new lift station for the 80 acres. We've kind of settled on recommending expanding the existing lift station. So there's obviously some different components of that. This first step is getting all of the preliminary design, the hydraulics, making sure we truly understand what that project looks like. There's going to be a lot involved with it, from mechanical, electrical, structural for improvements to the building and the wet well itself that we're looking at, and then pumps and a lot of other components. So this is basically the first step of a larger design, but this really lays out what the town needs and what we're recommending, and we'll be doing that all in conjunction with John. Probably one of the bigger items that comes out of it is we will also, once we have that work done, be able to provide a construction cost estimate for the town, so that then, you know, the planning side of the infrastructure costs can start we can start working through those. So again, that's making sure that we can get the flow that ultimately is going to be going to the treatment plant, that we're expanding to the treatment plant. On the tail end of that, we also have, once it goes through the treatment plant, we have to be able to get rid of it. We are losing a couple IP cells with some of the leased property that's being returned back to the airport. So we really need to understand the capacity of those. And we know ultimately we're going to need to create some new IP cells, or rapid infiltration basins is the current term that DEQ is using for it. But and we know we're going to need to convert the treatment cells A and B ultimately into infiltration cells. Figuring out the timing of exactly when that needs to be, how that's going to look. That's kind of what this first phase looks like. And again, ideally, we can use what we've got to at least get through some of the capacity letters that we're going to eventually want to write for the 80 acre project. But we'll find that out very quickly in this analysis. And then again, that will outline kind of the schedule moving forward of when those need to happen. And how that's going to look, and again, what's the cost of it going to be to get to that point, and all that is kind of incorporated into this preliminary phase, which is generally the first phase of design. Kind of the schematic design portion of it that really lays out the groundwork and the roadmap for completing it and permitting it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
With that, we'll do the first one regarding the engineering project proposal for the rapid infiltration basin, or RIB now, the wastewater treatment plant with PD&H Engineering, amount of $10,000 from the preliminary estimate. What is the pleasure of the council?
I make a motion to approve that engineering project proposal for the rapid infiltration basin wastewater treatment plant for an estimate of $10,000.
I'll second. Moved and seconded. Liz, to get all that. That was a long one, but clear and concise.
Got it.
All right. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Anyone have any comments or questions? Brian?
No. Hopefully it's under.
Great. Brock? No. All right. Lisa?
No, thank you.
This is the small
one. Yeah. This is the small one. And it's short. I appreciate that, Kyle. Thanks for the sharing that with us. All right, anyone in the audience here or online have any comments or questions about this? Don't see any hands. All right, back to the table.
Call for questions.
Question to call for. All those in favor of approving the engineering project proposal for the rapid infiltration basin capacity analysis for an estimated cost of $10,000, please say aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Thank you. All right. The second one we have in front of us is the sewer lift station. This is another project proposal for a pre-design and with an estimated schedule for $16,000. What is the pleasure of the council?
Make a motion to approve the engineering project proposal for the sewer lift station expansion pre-design in the amount of $16,000.
I'll second. Lisa, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't, but I probably should have asked for the other one, and I'll ask for this one. Just has our attorney reviewed and approved these proposals?
Okay.
Yes, I have.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rob. Right.
No, nope.
I don't either. Thank you. Very clear and concise and written in words I understand. Thank you. All right. Anyone in the audience have any comments or questions on this proposal?
Are these engineering costs, Travis? Or is this completion for the project?
No.
Ours is just for the planning.
The pre-engineering?
So just some exploratory costs. Can we ask Eric, does he have any idea on the possibility of range for prices to use?
So that's what he'll determine through the, they'll determine through the scope of the project, what the cost, and they'll probably have alternatives of what they're going to look at.
All right. We could look at lots of different ways on that lift location, how we can save cost and money at design. Me and Kyle have gone over this very carefully. To build a new lift pump station is extremely expensive. To upgrade the one we have is a much cheaper option in saving money. So that's what this scope will show.
That answer your question, Greg?
Sure.
Thank you. Great question. We always spend money to tell us how much we can save, right? All right. Anyone else online have any questions or comments? Back to the table.
Call for question.
Question been called for. All those in favor of approving the engineering project proposal for the amount of $16,000 for a pre-design analysis of the lift station on Irish Street, please say aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Right. Thank you, Kyle and John, for your work getting this together. Keep it low, please. All right. Our next item, we have a snow removal service agreement with the Tri-State Excavating. Am I right if I just read the summary? Would that be all right? All right. Last year, the town of West Hill Summit entered a contract with Tri-State Excavating to ensure several critical items were addressed prior to the start of snow removal operations. This agreement established the hourly rates for the use of specific equipment and clarified the Tri-State Excavating would be responsible for any damages to town property. It also required both parties to track equipment usage and hours worked, creating an important checks and balances system that helped ensure accurate invoicing and a timely payment. For this year, the contract remains unchanged with respect to rates and retainers. The primary updates involve revised dates and updated contact personnel for each party. The town budgets annually for supplemental snow removal support, and this contract provides the necessary flexibility to bring in additional assistance when needed. With that, what is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion to enter the service agreement with Tri-State Excavating for the 2025-2026 winter season.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Well made, Rock.
Thank you.
Anyone on the council have any comments or questions? Brian?
No, I appreciate Tri-State. Or yes. I appreciate Tri-State having found, but I feel John has been improved and hopefully you know. We don't need it.
Right, we'll keep that at a bare minimum, but it's often nice to have a backup plan. And yeah, I do appreciate it. Chris was great to work with, and we all work together as well.
Rock.
Just hope for a lot of snow this year.
All right, Lisa.
Well, I have the same questions and issues that I raised last year. It doesn't look like we're getting any discounted rates by entering into this contract. Is that correct?
John, are you able to answer that?
I can't hear very well. Thanks.
Sure, they're in the discounted rate. I'm sure his rates went up from last year and he kept his rates the same.
He kept his rates exact same this year as he did last, with no question. So there's no increase in cost.
We don't know if they're discounted from his rates.
No.
Don't use him.
I don't know if you heard that, Lisa, but we don't know for sure if they're discounted off his regular rate.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm not in favor of obligating the town to minimums, especially when we're not securing a significant discount. I wouldn't personally enter into a contract like this myself, so I don't also recommend it for the town. It seems that there would be options and he'd probably be willing to provide support at his hourly rates proposed if the town really does need support. So I'm not in favor of it, but those are my 2 cents. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. My thought is milking for every penny of the 5,000.
Oh, we watch very closely.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it worked out last year to come back and do it again this year. So, all right. Anyone in the community here or on the thing have any comments or questions regarding the Tri-State snow removal agreement? See any? With that, back to the table.
Paul, question.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of approving the service agreement with Tri-State Excavating for snow removal for this upcoming winter, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Thank you very much. All right. The next item, we have two special event permits. These are both put in by the chamber. We'll do these one at a time. Remember, the first one is for the Christmas stroll on December 19th. That's an announcement, by the way, just to remind everybody. They are asking for approval from us for outside amplification and an encroachment. What is the pleasure of the council?
Can we get clarification on what they're asking for an encroachment? What are they asking for revenue removal?
On the page that they typed special permit application, I highlighted permission stop. Close off all streets marked on map beginning at 4:45 on the 19th and ending after the tree has been lit. And Santa has walked through the Discovery Center and hold a parade on a route shown on the following page. Encouragement for the town tree, s'mores pit, and hot chocolate cookie loop. Wave the sound and amplification ordinance that may apply during the parade and tree lighting. And then from the police department, close all the streets marked on the map at 4:45 on the 19th, and these when the parade's been lit, leaves the parade.
Thank you, Lewis. All right. What is the pleasure of the council?
Make a motion for a special event permit for the Christmas stroll December 19, 2025, roadside amplification and the encroachment in the application.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Anyone have any comments or questions, Brian?
No, it is. No.
You, Brock?
No.
All right, Lisa?
No, thank you.
I don't either. Good job, everyone. And see, the tree is up and ready to be lit, I believe. So that'll be fun to have that. All right. Anyone in the audience or online have any comments or questions? Right back to the table.
Call for question.
Question to call for. All those in favor of approving the outside application and encroachment request for the Christmas stroll December 19th, 2025, please say aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Thank you. The next one we have in front of us is the kids and snow. Backwards in my.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just noticed that.
That's all right. I figured it out. Wait a minute. All right. So this is for the kids and snow and what they have. It says street activity. So basically, we're asking for an encroachment to do some things on the sidewalk and the street in regards with their kids and snow activities over by the park.
And I also wanted to point out, because they haven't always done this, first of all, we are launching a brand new application like this week. So don't get attached. This is the last time you'll see this application with all the weird fonts. But also in little tiny letters, it says horse-drawn sleigh rides will start in the parking lot of the chamber and head south on Canyon to the cul-de-sac beyond the hibernation station, and then head back to Canyon to the parking lot. So they're not asking for road closures or anything, but just be aware that they are going to run the horse-drawn sleighs on that end of town. And then in February, the Montana Snowmobile Association is involved, and there will be M120, the little snowmobiles, and s'more bins in Pioneer Park with kids participating in the, I guess we're having an American Council of Snowmobile Associations weekend. So we'll have little itty bitty snowmobiles right around the park. Want to make sure you put it.
With that, what is the pleasure of council?
Made a motion to approve the special event permits for kids and snow 2025-2026 series as stated in the application.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. You get that, Liz? All right. Any questions? Lisa, we'll start with you. Questions or comments?
None. Thank you.
No, Nathan.
Brian?
No.
I don't either. Keep it up. It's great. So. Anyone in the audience or online have any comments or questions regarding this encroachment and permit? Back to the table.
Call for questions.
Question we called for. All those in favor of approving the Kids and Snow 2025-26 series with encroachments, please say aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. The next one, speaking of boards and that, this is a Tourism Business Improvement Board of Trustees appointment. And this is Jeff Schoenhart, I'll get the right page here, has been on this. He has applied again to be on here with Liz.
Yeah, so let me just explain this board is set up so each member represents a certain sector of the hotel lodging industry. And so Lisa Johnson had been representing the hotels that have more than 100 rooms. She's no longer with the Starlight, and so she's resigned from the board. So Jeff Schoenhardt has applied to move over to that spot. And so now we'll start advertising for, he was a representative of the 50 to 100 rooms. So now we'll start recruiting for someone to fill that 50 to 100 spot. So he was already on the board, he's just changing spots.
What's the term?
There are 4-year terms.
Isn't part of that the more opportunity in that 50 to 99 range? Of
right, because
more candidates.
Yeah, because right now I think we only have 2 hotels so that are over 100. So it has to either be the Starlight or a Delaware North representative. I think once the town place is built, there'll be one more.
Good. What is the pleasure of the council?
Make a motion to appoint Jeff Schoenhardt for the 100 plus for a 4-year term to the Tourist Business Improvement District Board of Trustees.
I'll second. Been moved to second. Do we have any comments or questions? Brian?
No.
Rob? No. Lisa?
I apologize if I didn't understand clearly, but I guess I'm not understanding. Does the Kelly Inn have 50 to 99 rooms or 100 and more rooms? Like, why, if he's not changing hotels, why would he be able to flip-flop between different groups? Maybe you explained, but I didn't understand.
You want me to try?
You can.
So there's,
yeah,
this board has different representatives based on different size of hotel properties. Mm-hmm. And so he's just moving from a smaller one to a larger one, which would allow more opportunities for others to take that position on the board for the 50 to 99.
But is he staying with the same hotel? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me as to why, if he's not changing hotels, why his number of rooms would change.
Yeah, no, and that's a great question. So Jeff represents 3 different hotel properties in those ranges. So you have the Kelly Inn Clubhouse and the Westgate. So he actually represents 3 different ones. So that's okay. What I'll move into that. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense now. I appreciate that. Thanks.
I just want to say thanks for Jeff for doing it. I think he's been on the TBIT board since its inception. Yeah, been there for a lot.
He was one of the proponents that got it started.
Yeah.
He really, because he's involved with hotel, his corporation has some hotels and buildings where one of the first TBIDs in the state was set up. And so he kind of brought that to West and said, we need this too. Who made that motion?
Thank you. Anyone in the room have any comments or questions on this appointment? Or reappoint. Back to the table.
Call for caution.
This will be called for. All those in favor of reappointing Jeff Schoenhardt to the TBID board for representing the group of 100 plus rooms, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. All right. Liz, we're going to come back to you for some calendar items. There's a couple of things I think going on, and we'll go around if anyone has any other calendar items or last minute announcements or correspondence. Let's go ahead. If you start us, and we'll pull out your planners.
Okay. This Friday is the town Christmas party. I hope you have all RSVP'd to me. It's at Buffalo Bar from 5 to 7. And as soon as your belly's full, it's the first home basketball game of the season at the school. And there's another one Saturday night. Our next council meeting will be on Tuesday, December 16th. We are expecting to have a full meeting. We have plenty of things to do. And that still gives you 9 days to get ready for Christmas.
And who are we playing Friday?
Right now, there's 3 forms. It's a B school. Mm-hmm. And I do want to add that on December 18th is a game against Big Sky, who we'd love to beat, but it is also the night we'll be fundraising for the Wolverine Hair Fund. So we have lots of shenanigans planned for that night. I'm going to try to get police officers to play basketball. There will be silent auction, dessert auctions. We'll try to get as much money as we can out of Big Sky. There'll be lots of stuff going on, but that's on Thursday the 18th. And then on Saturday the 20th, they are doing an alumni game. So if you have a West Yellowstone diploma, you can play in that. Just saying.
Okay.
Barwood.
All right. Any other ones for us, Liz?
Oh, I know.
Sounds like a booster club announcement. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, one more thing. The booster club, I think it's in a box on my desk, has made a quilt out of Wolverine, out of vintage Wolverine jerseys. And we will start selling raffle tickets for it. Which you're all
the best because we thought of something else. We opened it.
Too bold, aren't you?
No, we just naked quickly.
No, we'll start selling booster club tickets for that. Jerry Johnson's gonna want like 1,000 tickets because they're all, but we use all the sports, football, basketball, track, everything, have made a quilt out of it, and it's really cool. So
everyone buy a ticket so Jerry doesn't get it.
Right.
And did your sister make that?
Yes, she did.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Thank you. Brian, do you have any reminders for us?
No. What fun today.
Brock.
Park and Rec meets again on December 17th here at Town Hall at 5:30.
Thanks. Lisa?
I don't have anything. No meetings to announce. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just getting right back to it. But now fun is... Where to go?
December 11th at noon at Hopewell.
Yes. That'd be noon, right?
December 11th?
Yeah.
Bam.
Also that morning, just because Matthews is not here, we'll be having the Business Improvement Advisory Board meeting on December 11th. I believe that one is still at 8 a.m. It might be 9 a.m., so watch for notices.
Very good.
Lisa, is there a healthcare services board scheduled?
There is not in the next few weeks. The January 22nd at noon is the next meeting for Healthcare Services Advisory Board. So you guys will need to obviously select a new council liaison for that.
Thank you. December, a lot going on, and we'll see everyone back here on the 16th. Remember, we're going to have an 80-acre kind of review what's going on there. So tell all your friends. We expect a lot of interest in that. Come join us or get online for that one. Dan, anything else for him? Then without objection, we will go ahead and adjourn this meeting. Thank you, everyone, for coming out and being here.
Well,
we have...
Yeah.